Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Think a witch lives inside the woods. I heard her singing and she plays real good.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. If you're a regular listener, you know that about this time in the show, we invite a musician to play live in the studio. When it's over, you've heard some great music, and in our interview, hopefully learned something that you didn't know. It's just the Soundcheck way. But when Stephen Wilson comes on the show, everything changes. Last September, the English musician and frontman of the group Porcupine Tree did not play live in the studio. Instead, he gave us this exclusive song, which he'd recorded in his home studio, and it became one of the most popular things we've ever posted on our webpage. So we learned something that day. You people really like Stephen Wilson. So we've brought him back, and today he's playing by our rules. Sort of. Stephen, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Thank you for having me back.
So today we will get to hear you in a kind of a unplugged performance at the piano.
You will, yes. It's a bit scary for me, but yes, I'm going to have a go anyway.
And we will also get a chance to hear a preview of the next record.
That's right, yeah.
Some people are very, very leery about going on the radio and leaking things from their forthcoming projects. You seem to be okay with it.
Well, I think it's all kind of inevitable anyway, isn't it? There's no way that the release date of these days of an album is the first time anyone's going to hear the record. The whole concept of release date just doesn't exist like it did when I was a kid, you know.
Right.
I mean, I remember going to the record store to buy the new, you know, album by whoever, and it was really a special day, you know, buying the record, bringing it back home, and you didn't know anything, really. Maybe you heard a single, but that was all you knew. Now the whole idea of a release date is kind of moot, really, because everyone's heard the record before it comes out.
And does that make it easier or harder for you?
Well, a bit of the romance has gone out of it, hasn't it? You know, there was something magical about the day of release when I was a kid, but that doesn't exist anymore. On the other hand, you know, it does give me the kind of freedom, if you like, to give tracks away beforehand myself, you know, because the record company aren't going to stop me because they know it's inevitable anyway.
Right, which is what we'll be doing on the program today with Stephen Wilson. Now, this album that's coming out is called Grace for Drowning. It will be your second solo record. But Porcupine Tree also began as a kind of a solo Stephen Wilson project. So what's the distinction nowadays between the band Porcupine Tree and you as a soloist?
Well, these days, you kind of answered your own question because Porcupine Tree is a band. Now, inevitably, when you have a band of four people, there's only a very small kind of area where you cross over in terms of your taste. And although I still write most of the music for Porcupine Tree, I'm very much aware of who I'm writing for. So in a sense, that is a limitation, but it's a limitation with a positive slant, which is kind of what gives the band its identity, the fact that we have this relatively small area where we cross over, and that's what gives us our identity. On the other hand, my record is very sprawling, very eclectic, and probably has no unifying kind of sound whatsoever. But that in itself kind of appeals to me, that kind of massively self-indulgent, sprawling double CDs. Something I've always loved, you know, from other artists. I wanted to do one of my own.
All right. And as we'll discuss in a moment, it actually goes well beyond just a sprawling double CD. But why don't we get you over to the piano? You want to do Postcard for us?
I'm going to try. This is a first for me. Never played a song on a piano live on air before, but I'm going to give it a go. Here we go.
And this sounds like it might be a little bit of a different sound from some of the things you've heard from Stephen Wilson with Porcupine Tree in the past. This will be out on the new album called Grace for Drowning, and the release date, in case you want to mark your calendars, is September 27th. But let's hear Stephen Wilson live in the Soundcheck studio with Postcard.
I think it's time that I got off the kitchen floor. But is there really any point at all waking up this morning? Felt the same.
better sleep while life is so mundane. The windows up so I can't be sure. Now I haven't even got the will to eat. I'm lame and self-obsessed that I will concede. To light a cigarette, but I cannot. The light is dead and the gas has been cut off. Do 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 do. I'm the one you always seem to about. The light inside my eyes has long gone out. There's nothing left for me to say or do, 'cause all that matters disappeared when I lost you. Do.
That is Stephen Wilson, musician, frontman of the group Porcupine Tree, and solo artist. His next album, solo album called Grace for Drowning, comes out on September 27th, and that song, a version of that song, will be on it. Called Postcard. And I'm gonna go back on something I said just before the song. I said that this is something that maybe is a little different from what people have expected from you over the years, but there's that startling modulation towards that gets you into the last part of the song. I mean, there are some of the signposts of things that you've done over the years, even in this little ballad.
I think it's easier for other people to hear those things than it is me. I mean, I hear things as very different, and very often I'll play things to friends. I'll say, listen to this, I've done something completely different. And they'll say to me, well, it just sounds like you. And I think that's a good thing. It means that there is a strong kind of personality that comes through in everything I do, and I can, you know, pastiche and homage all I like, but it'll still sound ultimately like me, which is a good thing.
Now, you mentioned that this new recording, Grace for Drowning, is going to be this big, ambitious, kind of sprawling 2-CD set. In fact, you're releasing it as a Blu-ray disc.
As well, yeah.
Why?
Well, because I have a reputation, for better or worse, of being someone who kind of is very focused on the idea of sonic excellence. And the thing about CD, as I'm sure you know, is that it has limitations in terms of audio fidelity, which Blu-ray kind of blows the lid off, really, in terms of being able to put high-resolution audio. And also, I've also been very committed to the idea of surround sound over the last few years. And that has been traditionally something we've released on DVD and DVD-A. But now Blu-ray gives all sorts of other opportunities for interactive kind of video, being able to scan lyrics so people can look at the lyrics. You know, actually, we've actually got scans of my handwritten lyrics, which you can kind of pop up when you're listening to the music. You can access a demo version of the song while you're listening to it to see how it kind of developed over the months. So all of those things you couldn't do with DVD, you can now do with Blu-ray. It's a much more kind of interactive format.
So how big is the audiophile market these days, when it seems like for the past 10 years especially, the market has been driven towards lower fidelity in order to increase portability?
Well, you certainly have a, unfortunately, you have a situation where convenience has definitely won the battle against quality of experience. But at the same time, human experience tells us, history tells us, that for every swing in one direction, there's an equal and opposite swing. Well, possibly not equal, but there's a swing of some kind in the opposite direction. So I think what you have is things diversifying in a way and becoming more extreme and more polarized, in the sense you have the kind of very low quality, low resolution, convenient format of MP3s. And at the same time, you have a lot of people getting back into vinyl.
Right.
And not just old people like me and you, but a lot of kids. A lot of kids are now bringing me vinyl to sign after shows, and that's such a great sign. And of course,
and they know the gram numbers. Like, oh, this is
oh, yeah.
the 180 gram vinyl.
180
version.
Gram, yeah, 200 gram, yeah. They love it, and you know, they're saying, "Has this been mastered from 24 bit files or 16 bit files in 96?" They really getting into it, and I think there is a sense now that there is a swing back towards some kind of idea of the art of listening and the quality of experience of listening.
As long as we don't swing all the way back to the massive speakers that were like the biggest pieces of furniture in your room, which...
No, I mean, to be perfectly frank, I can't see we're ever going to win the battle over the convenience of iPods yeah. and iPhones, but there certainly is a place in the scheme of things for high-end audio too.
So Grace for Drowning, when it comes out, will come out on all these different formats.
Mm.
Blu-ray, CD, double CD, vinyl.
Double vinyl, yeah.
Why such a big project? I mean, there's one track alone that clocks in at 23 minutes. Again, you're kind of swimming against the tide here, Stephen.
I just can't do little projects, modest projects. I guess it's because my whole kind of background was falling in love with music, was always falling in love with these conceptual, some people call it progressive, whatever, art rock, whatever you mm-hmm. want to call it, symphonic rock. These massive projects, bands like Floyd and Crimson, who would create not just a bunch of songs thrown together on a record, but a kind of musical journey, a musical continuum. And I totally fell in love with that whole idea. And so all of my records have tried to aim for something bigger than just a collection of songs. And it is kind of swimming against the tide in the respect that people have shorter and shorter attention spans these days. It's harder to sell something that you need to engage with over a 45-minute time span. But you know what? I don't care, because it's just what I love to do, and I do it, ultimately, I do it for myself. But I seem to have enough people out there that appreciate that.
So you are committed to the album as a format.
Absolutely.
And we are seeing, just in the last couple of years, a kind of revival of interest in the older progressive rock bands,
yeah.
but also in, you know, more artists who, as you say, there's that counter swing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the pendulum has swung one way, and some people inevitably will push back and say, no, I don't want that. I want
right.
this. I want
right.
the longer, more immersive experience.
Right.
We're speaking with Stephen Wilson, English musician, songwriter, singer, and frontman of the group Porcupine Tree. His second solo album comes out in September, called Grace for Drowning. And as you did last time, you're giving us an exclusive on Soundcheck today. Listeners, you'll be able to download an MP3 of a radio edit of the song called Like Dust I Have Cleared From My Eye. It's on our page at wnyc.org/soundcheck. On the record, this is like an 8-minute long track.
Right. Right.
You've done like a 4.5-minute radio edit.
That's right, yes.
And here's a little bit of that to give you an idea. This is music from Stephen Wilson and the forthcoming record, Grace for Drowning.
Well, that's something that you're laughing at me, and I hope you know what it is that you're laughing about, 'cause it won't be long now till they're reeling you in the same situation, same disappointment you bring, So I hope you're happy. With the impression you made deep in denial, like you planned it this way, it's your last to be. Like dust I have cleared from my eyes.
That is a new song from Stephen Wilson. It's part of his sprawling new 2-CD set called Grace for Drowning, which comes out in September. Stephen Wilson is performing here in New York at the Best Buy Theater on Friday, November 11th. He's here with us on Soundcheck today. And again, this is a Soundcheck exclusive. You can download an MP3 of the radio edit of this song, Like Dust I Have Cleared From My Eye. It's on our webpage at wnyc.org/soundcheck. And Stephen, is, as I mentioned before, your second solo album. Insurgentes was the first one a couple of years ago. And that, too, was a massive project. Big art book that came with it, a documentary as well. What is it that kind of, you know, makes these more than just music? I mean, you talked about it needed to be for you a kind of a deeper musical experience, but it's more than music now.
Well, I always think in terms of music as a combination of music and visuals anyway. So the first thing I'm thinking when I've written a new song is how would we produce a visual representation of that? That's the first thing. The second thing is I did grow up at the tail end of the Great Vinyl era, so I still remember the idea of music presented as art, you know, something you can cherish, something you can really treasure. The problem with CD, of course, is it's neither one thing nor the other. It's neither a software nor art. It's somewhere between. But, you know, vinyl LPs, they were like pieces of art, you know. And I think now what we have with the kind of move back towards special packaging, which the record companies have kind of done under duress because they realize they can't sell product unless they think about special packaging, is almost a move back to that idea of gatefold vinyl sleeves with lyric sheets and pullouts and all that stuff. You know, some people might think that's very gimmicky, but for me it's all about the role of the artist doesn't cease when you've written and recorded the song. It extends through to the way you package your music, the way you present your live show, the way you present your website, the way you conduct yourself in interviews. That's all part of the, you know, the work of being a musician, at least for me.
It's interesting because, again, you seem to be swimming against a pretty strong tide of people who think that the musician's job is to do the music. Period. End of sentence.
Well, those are not musicians. They're not the musicians that inspired me. The musicians that inspired me, people like Robert Fripp, Roger Waters, Frank Zappa, were what you might call auteurs or architects of not just the music, but a complete kind of philosophy, a complete ideology, which extended through to their personality, the way they packaged themselves, the way they presented the music. Those are the guys that inspired me, not the people you're talking about.
Yeah. Does anybody inspire you out there now?
There are some people I'm very big fan. You know, I'm a big fan of Trent Reznor. And I think he's someone that also thinks in this way. You know, he's just done the Social Network soundtrack on a Blu-ray, too, for example. There aren't too many audio-only Blu-rays out there, but that's one of them. And I just love his whole kind of philosophy about giving away albums on the internet and giving people the option to download for free. And if they want the physical product, then there are these very lavish versions available too, which is exactly the way I've been thinking. I'm pretty sure he's probably come from the same generation as I have, and he probably has those same kind of feelings for the old vinyl era. It seems that way to me.
Well, the new album by Stephen Wilson, album seems such a poor noun for to
project.
Describe this massive project that Stephen Wilson has done. It's called Grace for Drowning, comes out on Blu-ray, CD, vinyl, etc. on September 27th, and Stephen Wilson performing at the Best Buy Theater on Friday, November 11th. He's been with us on Soundcheck today, and Stephen, a real pleasure to have you back. Thanks so much.
Thanks very much. Always a pleasure.
This is Soundcheck. And remember, thanks to Stephen Wilson, you can download this track for free from our website. It's called Like Dust I Have Cleared From My Eye, and it's on our webpage, wnyc.org/soundcheck. And that's going to do it for today. On our next program, George Steele, general manager of the New York City Opera, joins us to discuss life after Lincoln Center. Plus, a fresh look at a seminal album, Marquee Moon, by the band Television. And listeners, WNYC and WQXR need your music suggestions for the 10-year anniversary of September 11th. We want your help building a playlist for a project called Measuring Time. To leave your suggestion and to see what others have already suggested, visit wnyc.org/soundcheck. Our technical director is Irene Trudell, the program produced by Katie Bishop and Greta Cohn. Our senior producer is Joel Meyer, and we've had help today from Vaughn Sulit. It's our intern Kate Spalla's last day here, and we wish her all the best as she heads back up to Boston. I'm John Schaefer. Thank you for being with us for Soundcheck.